This morning on Morning Edition, we're talking now with political analyst Scott McKay about the budget. The House Finance Committee last night voting 14-2 in favor of a House budget. And Scott, what do we know so far about the details of the House budget?
Well, obviously, this is just starting to emerge, Chuck. What we do know is the good news for Rhode Islanders is there's no broad-based tax increases in either the sales or the income tax, the two largest taxes that most Rhode Islanders pay. There is a decrease in the corporate tax from 9% to 7%. This is something that the business community and Governor Chafee actually has proposed, I think, since he first took office in 2011. They're finally doing that. There's also a decrease in the estate tax. There aren't a lot of huge major items in here. There is an increase in education aid. There's an increase in aid for higher education so that the tuition freezes at the public colleges, Rhode Island College and the University of Rhode Island, Community College of Rhode Island, can be maintained and tuition won't be going up for in-state Rhode Island students.
Now, Governor Chafee has already released details of his budget. How does that agree and disagree with what the House has come up with?
You know, there's not a lot different. There really isn't. I mean, these things, you really have to get around the margins. 66 or 68% of the state budget, as is the case in most states, is in education aid and social services and health care, things like Medicaid, for instance, for our poorer residents who can't afford health insurance. And so what you have is other issues that come up. There's side issues. There's no money, no state money, to help Providence fill the so-called Superman building, the old Industrial Trust building, and that's going to cause some disputes with Providence. Also, they did cut from the governor's request a $52 million item to increase historic tax credits to renovate some of these crumbling old mills and structures that you see around Rhode Island.
And it looks like that the assembly leaders and the governor both agree on the $12 million payment to the 38 studio bondholders.
Well, you know, after a lot of debate, it looks like the assembly leaders and Governor Chafee appear to have won the fight to include the $12 million payment for the next installment of these controversial 38 studios bonds. I think you're going to see more debate on this before the budget gets its final action through the House and the Senate. Again, this is just the House Finance Committee's proposal at this point. I'm sure there'll be debate on the floor. As you know, this has been a long-running controversy with some state reps saying we should default and walk away from this obligation. Again, this is Curt Schilling's failed video game company that went bankrupt after Governor Carcieri put this in and the assembly put the money in there several years back. So you're going to see, I think, some more discussion on that one.
And the proponents of paying say that the damage done to the state's bond rating would just be too great to even though we could legally default, to do that.
Yes, exactly.
And is that kind of winning the day, or as you say, is it still up in the air?
I think you're going to, again, see more talk about this, but I do believe that basically what these folks are saying is that the Wall Street people are going to punish Rhode Island if we don't pay this. And when cities and towns go in to say, you know, put a new wing on the school or to borrow money for tax anticipation notes, that Rhode Island's borrowing costs are going to jump and we're going to be looked upon as a deadbeat state, and that we'll take a big hit in the national financial media. It'll just be another black eye on little Rhodey.
How about the dispute over tolls on the Saconnet River Bridge? Where do we stand there? Is that part of this budget, or was that a separate piece of legislation that the House came up with?
No, that's part of the budget. Here's what's going to happen. There will be no tolls on the Saconnet River Bridge. As you know, there's been a huge hue and cry from legislators on the East Bay in the business community over there on the east side of Narragansett Bay about paying for tolls. What they're going to do instead is there will be a bite in Rhode Islanders' pocketbooks on this one. What they're going to do instead is they're going to increase the gas tax by 1 cent, and they're going to increase the car inspection fees from $39 to $55. So when you go to get your car inspected, you're going to take a little bit of a hit in the wallet, but you won't pay a toll when you drive over the Saconnet Bridge. That's pretty much the trade-off they've come up with. They're going to face this down the road again because Gas taxes, as we know, are a declining form of revenue because what's happened is people are driving cars that are far more efficient than they used to be. They get, you know, 30 or 40 miles per gallon. So this tax isn't going to yield in the long term the kind of money that it has in the past. But what they've done is a short-term fix. The gas tax will go up by a penny on the 1st of July when the new budget takes effect if this plan goes all the way through the House and the Senate.
Well, now that you mention that, can you walk us through the rest of the process here? This is just the beginning of votes that have to come down and then a reconciliation of the budget. How does that work?
Well, here's what happens. The budget sits around for about a week so everybody can study it. And they plan to vote on it next Thursday in the House. It still has to pass the House floor. Then it has to go to the Senate, which usually doesn't make many changes in the budget. It's kind of a rubber stamp historically. And then Governor Chafee gets to weigh in. He could veto the budget, but he probably won't. If he doesn't like certain items, what he'll do is make some last-minute negotiations with the House and Senate leaders and try to come to some kind of a compromise so that he gets perhaps a half a loaf of what he wants and they get a half a loaf of what they want. But there's no huge changes. He may be upset at this point about the historic tax credit, for instance, that $52 million item that he proposed. He may have some dispute there, and maybe they'll come with a smaller item. But it's a tight budget. I mean, they came in having to fill a deficit of about $67, $68 million. So there's not a lot of room for anybody's pet programs. The state just doesn't have the money. The economy's not great. We still have the highest unemployment rate in the country and in New England. Everyone knows that. So I think basically we're going to muddle through once again. They're going to pass this budget and go home for the summer.
And how does it look for what kind of deficit we're going to have?
Well, I think they're going to be able to patch this year's up, and that's really what they're looking at. This is kind of like filling potholes.
Yeah.
Going 1 year, you fill the pothole, then next winter, unfortunately, it snows a lot, the weather beats up the road, you fill another pothole. Rhode Island has had a structural problem with deficits for many years, and one of the biggest reasons for that is just that our economy is not producing, because we don't have full employment, our economy is not producing tax revenues in as robust a manner as some other states.
All right, Scott, thanks so much for your analysis. That's political analyst for Rhode Island Public Radio, Scott McKay. This is Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.